right now, for the right now, we've got another guest on our show. He's an OG. He is one of the legends of the Australian hip-hop scene. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Enford Jones. Enford Jones, how are we?
I'm good. I'm resting my old head and I'm chilling.
Let's go.
Enjoying your show, man.
Let's go. No, I'm glad. Glad to have you here, man, for sure. Tell us about this Burn Gently stuff, man. This is set to be some fantastic work. You're obviously the co-producer of Burn Gently. It looks like it's going to be incredible for our local scene to start with. I want to talk a bit about how the social issues of our area have bled into hip-hop and how the industry we have burns out artists and how, you know, how it was working on this film for, what 6 years? Correct me if I'm wrong.
The process of the film, it did take some time. I mean, originally we started off with just an idea, really, and it was more antics wanting to do, like, just a small thing on me, like, because of my stories I tell him and things. And the more he started asking and sort of digging, the more the stories got bigger, the more people I was talking about. And then it just led to, well, you know, let's talk to some more people. And I didn't really want to do a doco about me or anything, but and it just led to, well, you know, I remember this time with Suffer this, or this time with Draft that, or with Maya Jupiter doing this. And when I was 14, I remember doing a gig and I supported Sounds Unlimited, and, you know, I met Rosano, and all, just all these things that were happening. And so that led to conversations that really ended up realizing that most of us have similar experiences, similar views. And we always hear about Australia, for example, and industry and how we see it, but it's always like more of a, I guess, like a rock view, or that other kind of, the other genres in, sure, in Australia. But with folk, looking at, yeah, it through the, yeah, but looking it through the lens of hip hop is really interesting. So it's, rather than trying to make, you know, a doco about this is Aussie hip hop, this is what happened here, this is what happened there, it really became more of a cultural conversation that evolved. And it's been really dope to see what different people are thinking and saying and feeling. And, you know, and I've actually often said, you know, it's really interesting how, and this is true in Australia, you could say, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a singer-songwriter. Oh, yep, cool.
I hear you.
But what do you do? Oh, I'm a rapper, an MC. Huh? What do you mean? Still to this day. Yeah, we're kicking ass, doing so many great things. And why is there this stigma type stuff? So it sort of led into these kinds of conversations, looking at all kinds of things across industry and how to get through it, how to survive, and all these things. So it's just a really cool insight into all of that. You know, I wish we had crazy money so we could have crazy effects all through it, you know, but we've done pretty well. Johnny Nannis has done a great job with what he could work with, what we could get our hands on. You know, it's been awesome.
Yeah, I watched the doc trailer earlier. And it looks like it's fantastic. Just to reference the doc trailer, I wanted to pick your brain on something, and I'm not sure if we're unpacking too much here or we're giving away too much of what the doc might talk about. But you've been in the game for, what, like 30 years almost, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So, like, with 30 years of experience, what can we as hip-hop consumers, whether that be you, me, some, you know, like anybody in the studio right now, or even the listeners at home, what can we as hip-hop consumers do to help reshape the way that Australian hip hop, particularly within a BIPOC community, Indigenous community, how can we view it in, like, a, you know, view it better in terms of, you know, that sort of stuff? And more importantly, how can the bigger medias view it? How do you think?
I think it's, this is going to sound weird, but I think it's really about maturity and growth.
Okay.
And looking at what is ours with respect and honor and pride, instead of, you know, second guessing it or pushing to the side, like, oh, but it's just, you know, in the UK when they're doing their thing, there was that at first a little, but then it was like, no, this is just, this
Let
is what
cook.
We do, this is what we represent, this is what we're about. And I think, you know, telling your stories, trying to find your own way of expressing it as an artist, helps connect with people, and then people hearing that and appreciating it and sharing it. I mean, we did it with our rock artists, our folk artists. It's happened a bit with our hip-hop artists. But, you know, I just think it's about embracing who we are as we grow. And as we grow and change, it's a continuous journey, you know. So the fact that, you know, we've got more, you know, local stations playing more hip-hop now, it's still guys like you doing it independently. Mm-hmm. But it's continuing and it's growing and it's developing. You're not the first guys trying. You're like a couple generations in, and there's no question to what you're doing. This is what you do. It's what you grew up listening to, you know, so it gets deeper and deeper. And so it's great. I mean, I think it's just a matter of continuing to support, trying to show up. It's hard these days because everything's so online and YouTube. No one wants to go anywhere or do anything, but the real magic that happens is face to face. It's feeling the energy of subs running through, and supporting people that are around you that you're a part of, because in a way you're supporting yourself.
That's no, that's a fair answer, man. And I think watching the doc trailer, there was a quote, and I forget the gentleman's name, and you'll probably put me on and let me know that he's an absolute legend of the game as well. But he mentioned something about how his old school was diff would be different to our old school. Our old
Oh,
school is
yeah.
like, like early 2000s.
2000.
His old school might
Yeah.
be, 90s or the 80s
Yeah.
or the 70s or beyond that, or to the very beginning of hip hop itself.
Yeah.
And
And for
so,
some, old school would literally be Kendrick Lamar.
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly,
Yeah.
exactly.
That was DJ Pearl from 1200
Of
Techniques.
course,
That's, yeah,
yep,
my boy
and
Pearl. Yeah.
that's the 2002 Hottest 100, right? You worked with him, I believe, if I'm correct.
Yeah, we were in a band together for years. We did a couple good records. 2002, yep, Hottest 100 came number four, won a couple arias that year. It was a big time
Amazing.
for us.
Massive,
It sucks we
massive year.
didn't keep moving forward, but we did something integral and necessary, so we're grateful for that.
That's important. And at 2002, you're looking at influencing a whole generation of people our age,
Yeah.
people of Samir's age, my age, Braden's age here. That's it.
Y2K.
So that's important. It's an important time in history for us. So
Yeah.
hopefully it was an important time of history for you as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and I think the stuff that's happening right now that's new as well is a continuation.
Of
You know, I
course.
don't not listen to Miles Davis because it's older, but hip hop comes from Miles Davis. I don't not listen to Fela Kuti. Hip hop comes from Fela, it comes from Bob Marley, it comes from all these artists. So, it's all part of one lineage of family.
No, amazing,
Yeah.
amazing.
Well, Enfa, I also do want to touch on Burn Gently once again. So with this project and doc the doc itself, what are you expecting like people to mainly take away from it? Like what's the bigger message or the main thing that you would want people to
Pull from
like
it.
pull from it, you know? I think it's really about starting an actual conversation around the fact that we exist outside of, radio speakers and Spotify playlists. We're people, we're here, and there's someone out there, and whether it's us or other people, some 14-year-old right now who's going to make a better film, but this stuff needs to start happening. We need to start documenting our culture, what we're about. It kind of just gets happens a bit in a music video here and there. It comes and goes, but just really, I just want people to look at the art form, look what it's done, look at the journey, be proud of what Australia, as artists from Australia, have been doing and input. I mean, there's more, there's even more that we can't fit into the timeline, more stories to tell, but over time, and hopefully, what would be amazing is if somehow it got heard and noticed abroad, so the people abroad can start looking at what we're doing. There's cats who know, but it'd be nice for people to see, hey, that's what's happening down there, and it's real and it's fresh, so there's that, the conversation and the continuing narrative. And just, we sometimes have to force ourselves in the room. As hip hop, I've always had to
For
just
sure.
force myself in the room, like, yo, excuse me. And that's this is that once again, and hopefully some insight for artists to, especially coming up, to take away from it, to help them develop. It's all about positive energy, activating constant elevation,
No,
that's the vibe.
amazing. No, that's fantastic, man. Hey, and if I wanted to throw it to someone in the studio here, he's my co-host here, but you know him a little bit better than I do. We know him as Brady. You might know him as Braden. However you want to know him. Brady, talk to us a
I
little
was
bit.
gonna say something about that. Yeah, so you call me on the roll like every day. So personally, I know you from TAFE there. Yeah,
Yeah.
and yeah, you know me as Braden, but everybody calls me here Brady, and I was just a bit afraid to like tell you to change my name on the roll. So anyway,
You could totally do that.
you gotta call him Brady now, Enfa. He spoke his
That's
truth.
great.
I
That's
spoke
great.
my
He was like,
truth.
I have some personal grievances that I want to settle with you right now.
I don't care if it's live, we'll do the thing. Yeah, anyway.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, man, I've been out of Box Hill for a few years now. I actually helped co-write a course. It was a diploma of music, but it was based purely on hip hop.
Yeah.
And so we were delivering that the last what, 4 or 5 years, and now that's rolled into the regular diploma. So there's like more minors based around hip hop methods, which is pretty cool. But it's been good out there. The studios are great, working with Cert 4 students, diplomas, higher ed students, VETA students. It's cool. To me, working in any kind of music space is the only kind of work I want to do. And so whether I'm showing people just how to, you know, start making ideas with beats of Logic or miking up drums or songwriting, to me, it's all part of, you know, paying it forward in a positive way.
Yeah, yeah. Like last week in class, you were telling the class like how you were making beats at 18. You were like saying, oh yeah, you know, at 18. So what was the first song that you ever made?
The first song I made as a beat or recorded?
Sure, as a beat or recorded, like, you know, as a recorded.
Let's do
it as a beat first. Let's go like way back as a beat. Let's go.
Well, the first song I did was a recording before a beat.
Oh yeah.
First beat I made was on my brother's Tascam, his Korg drum machine, and we had some sort of keyboard, and I used to just mess around making beats on his equipment. But he was an amazing songwriter and beat maker, my older brother. He actually is the one who really got me deep into hip hop. But and he actually was part of 1200 Techniques. He helped on writing Hard as Hell, Can't Stop, a song called Rat City, The Hoedown, and what I wrote on Karma had a lot to do with his influence on how we were writing songs together. But my first song, I was 10 and he was 15. Wow. And he and his mate Chris G wrote it. And we knew, they were the only guys we knew who liked hip hop. And my brother met them because the guy was wearing like some sort of shirt and a hat. So my bro started talking to him like, oh yeah, we love hip hop. And so we'd catch a bus from, we live at the end of the train line, but we had to catch the bus. So we catch the bus to the train all the way to the city. This is in Perth. And then another train out to Beckenham and then walk 15 minutes. I'm talking like a 10-year-old and 15-year-old to his kid's house.
Hustle from
young. Hustle.
Yeah. Real and awesome. We wrote this song about how I liked girls in my primary school, but they didn't like me. Yeah. And that's what the whole song was about, the frustration of it. And, you know, it's a pretty funny song, but it was really cool. But, you know, there was no YouTube. There's no way of getting it out. We just had it on a tape for years. And we kept doing more and more of that stuff. And then eventually, you know, doing that led to moving to Melbourne and then meeting Pearl. And he's like, oh, you can already do all this. I was like, yeah, I've been doing this. And then writing Karma and so on, and an interesting life of music. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So, but my first beats weren't good. They were funny. They almost still sound the same as the beats I make now when I make beats.
You gotta tidy them up and release them. We need to hear those beats.
Yeah, you can do like an anthology kind of thing. So,
I hang out with Sensible J. His beats are too good. I just roll with his stuff now.
Fair enough.
Yeah. How did you know you'd be who you are today? Like, looking back, you know, like back when you were a youngster, you know, when you considered yourself as like just an individual?
I mean, it was always a dream. I always wanted to, you know, run for Australia and win a Grammy. And I ran for Australia, but I won an ARIA. I never won a Grammy, but it was always a dream. But I actually never
won a Grammy yet.
Not yet.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I didn't believe any of it was really real or possible. Even when I was touring with 1200s, I was like, I guess I'm going to have to get a job at some point and do something normal. Like, I just didn't think it was realistic. So as far as I've gone, I swear to God, I don't think I went at 100%. I just was so deeply into it that it was just a part of my consistent life. Even now, it's like, I have a group called Cool Out Sun, and we play a lot. And, you know, we play a lot, but I don't do it, you know, expecting anything. I just need to do it. Like, people play golf, people play PlayStation, people do whatever. Make music with my mates. I almost can't hang out with people unless I'm doing something musical. I like Ant. I'd have a beer with him, but I wouldn't have time to hang out if we weren't making this documentary. And, you know, it's been crazy working on this documentary because of the lockdowns and things. That's kind of what made it move so slow, is the inability to work and get things done. But it's great to come out the other end, you know, with an album, let's say, or to come out with a film like Burn Gently, and just start being able to share it and promote it. Like, this gig coming up Saturday night will be a lot of fun. Hopefully a bunch of heads come through. And it's just about bringing community together and finding ways to move forward.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic, man. I mean, honestly, it's an honor to have you here, because I feel like we're talking to some real royalty in terms of Australian hip hop. Let's talk a little bit about Burn Gently. I mean, you're going to be part of the acts on the night as well. You're not just part of the documentary. You're going to be part of the acts this Saturday. Talk to us a little bit. Burn Gently, the after party. You're going to be alongside the likes of Mantra, Young Shogun, who we heard earlier from, Bilali, who's going to be hearing from shortly. How are you feeling about that?
That'd be awesome. They're all great. I've seen all of them start, even Mantra. I remember seeing him start coming up, and he's always been dope. Watching Young Shogun come up, he's always been dope. Bilali's newer to the scene, he's always been dope. Everyone involved in the event, they're all dope. That's why they're part of it. And that's what's cool. And, you know, it's great because, you know, it's through the evening, we'll be showing a couple snippets of the film, a couple sections just to get a vibe of what it is before the actual screening, which is, March 23rd.
Amazing.
At Nova. And then we've got screenings up in Sydney and Newcastle. But, so the screening in March 23rd will be awesome fun. It's looking forward to it. But we just thought, you know, let's do something before. Let's do a bit of a lead up vibe, somewhere we can share some stuff, let people see a bit of what's going on. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really nice night with developing artists who are doing dope things and, you know, more vintage artists who are somehow hanging in.
Classic,
there.
I'd say. Classic. Hey, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. It is fantastic. If you want to catch Enfa Jones, it's at Enfa Jones on his social. He'll be there this Saturday, 25th, doing his thing. Enfa, thank you so much for joining us, bro.
Hey, no doubt.
Let's go. That was Enfa Jones. We're going to play one of his all-time classics off his 2006 album, Cause and Effect. This is the titular track, Cause and Effect.
Love it.
You're listening to The Hip Hop Show on Sin. Let's go.